Good afternoon. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord has summarized all the transgressions and iniquities and sins that we struggle against as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Lust simply means desires. When the desire is for something that is good, God-honoring, Bible-based, then the King James translators would translate it as desire. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he who desires the office of an elder desireth a good thing. Now, there are two words there. The first word for desire, the office of an elder, is not the word that is used here. That talks about a mental desire. The second word, he desireth a good thing, that has a desire to do with the heart. The heart. Because the word lust, when it is for something that is bad, it describes a very strong, heartfelt desire, a passion. That's the word, a passion. There is nothing wrong with having a desire or a passion, because there are desires and passions for the right thing. Another example for a good thing was used in the case of Philippians, when the Apostle Paul says he has a desire to be in heaven with the Lord. Same word, a strong passion to go to heaven. But when man fell into sin, every aspect of his life, created in God's image, is now tarnished. And even after salvation, even though we have the strength from God to not succumb to the dominion of sin, where sin is no longer our master controlling us as if we are slaves, helpless slaves, that no longer exists in every believer's life, because the old nature, which the sinful nature, is now dead and gone in Christ, had been crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. We have been crucified, put to death. Which part of us has been put to death? The sinful nature. That's why as born-again believers, we cannot use the phrase sinful nature to describe us. That would be a misnomer, that would be a misunderstanding. Then people will ask you, which part of you have been crucified, have died with Christ, if the sinful nature remains? That is why the Lord did not use the sinful nature. In Romans 7, when we struggle with a desire to obey the Spirit, that is the law of the Spirit, which is one of perfection, then there is the law of the flesh. They always will battle the flesh. That's how the Bible describes the believer. Because now we have a new nature, a God nature, a Christ nature, a holy nature, not a sinful nature. And so the Apostle Paul, in this epistle to the Galatians, where he continued from where he left off in verse 15, telling us, don't bite and devour one another, take heed that you do not consume one another. So it is not just a matter of tolerating one another, but to do good toward one another. Because that's exactly what it means, to walk in the Spirit. Because if you do not overcome the desires of the flesh to do wrong things, and this is not limited to sexual desires, it includes that, all sorts of sinful sexual desires, pornography, etc. All forms of desire of the flesh, this body of ours. Food. Recreation. Your job. All forms of desire of the flesh that will result in transgression will be included. And the detailed description of the lust of the flesh will be found from verse 19 onwards, God willing, which will be our next sermon 2 weeks from now, God willing. And the Bible will include adultery, fornication, idolatry, witchcraft, envying, murders, and so on. All sorts of desires that will result in transgression is included in this description called the lust of the flesh, what the flesh would do, in contrast to the lust of the eyes, what the eyes would see. and like and desire. And some of these things that your eye sees and desire may not be tangible, where your flesh cannot participate and cannot touch and hold and handle and carry. Like the accolades and the praises of man, the desires of the eyes, where what your eye sees you like, the big house, the big car, and so on. But the lust of the flesh is what the Apostle Paul wants us to focus on this afternoon. He wants us to overcome it. How to overcome these awful desires? Because this desire, I think, all of us would never miss when you are given the glorified body. When you are given the glorified body by the Lord Jesus Christ, many of these struggles will cease to exist permanently. Because it is very, very exhausting to keep on struggling against this desire even after we are born again. Because we are born again now, we have another desire, a different desire. And this desire comes from the Spirit of God. And so the Apostle Paul says, "This I say then, keep on walking in the Spirit, so that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That's the only way to overcome, with the Spirit's help. Without the Spirit's help, we cannot succeed. All of us will fail. And so we thank God for the Holy Spirit who indwells us, who will help us. So how do we walk in the Spirit? You may ask, you are right. If I keep telling you, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, you'll probably tell me, alright, we heard you. Tell us what it means. Tell us how to do it. Well, you walk in the Spirit, you see the Spirit in front of you? Because the Spirit can't see, right? So how to walk in the Spirit? So it's not walk after the Spirit, so walk in the Spirit. That means, let the Spirit be the one that will tell you what to do inside. Because you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right? So how will the Holy Spirit tell you what to do within? Remember what Jesus said when he introduced the Holy Spirit's ministry to the disciples in the Gospel of John? John chapters 14, 15 and 16. He gave us a lot of teaching concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and one of them was his duty and ministry was to bring to remembrance what we have learned from God's Word. So to walk in the Spirit means let the Spirit guide you. Let the Spirit be the one to direct you. Let Him take over your life. And so you ask how? The Word of God. You cannot walk in the Spirit outside of the Word of God, because the Spirit is not going to teach you things that are outside of Holy Scripture, because that's not His ministry. His ministry is not to give you Bible part two. This is it. His ministry is to bring to remembrance the Word of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Bible, because the Bible is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to walk in the Spirit means let the Spirit of God help you live your life according to Holy Scripture, which implies that you have to study the Bible. If you do not study the Bible, you do not know the Word of God, how to walk in the Spirit. For example, when you become a parent, whether you like it or not, you have to start teaching your children, right? So how do you teach your children? Let's say you do not know the Word of God, you do not study all the Bible verses concerning how to teach children. So you have to teach children, because the children are now growing up, right? When they are infants, you just have to feed them, clothe them, clean them, and that's it. But once they start to talk, start to walk, they start to do naughty things, now you have to teach them. So how are you going to teach them? Well, most of us, if we do not know Scripture, will be based upon what you have read from the books. And the books out there are from the devil. Or you may remember how your parents brought you up. And so you will imitate your parents. How did my parents Bring me up. So you may ask your parents, or you remember how they dealt with you, and so you just simply imitate and repeat how your parents taught you. And the Lord described it as, you are now fulfilling the desires of the flesh, right? You want to bring them up, but your desire to bring them up based upon your flesh, this body of yours, is based upon the word of man and your past experiences of your parents, and if they are not believers, also will be the word of man, the flesh. Guaranteed, your children will not know Christ. They're not going to walk in a manner that is pleasing to Christ, because it is not based upon Holy Scriptures. So there are many, many other instances where you have to decide. You go to school, you have to be a student. Do you know how to be a godly student? You go to work, whether you like it or not, you are now in the office because you need to support your family. You need to work. And so now you're there. Do you know all the Bible passages concerning how to be a Christian employee? Because the Spirit who dwells in you wants to help you to be a godly, Christian, effective witness for Christ as an employee. But without the Word of God inside of you, He can't bring to remembrance blank. Bring to remembrance means it's already there. He will help you remember them so that when time comes, you will go to the office, you will go to school with the right motive. So the first thing is, what is the Bible's teaching concerning the motive of an employee? The motive of a Christian student? The motive of a Christian mother who stays home? How should I prepare for my children, my husband, a godly home, a godly environment? Do you know? Or you just aga? What do your friends do? Well, they're all motivated by money for those who are in the workforce. Promotion. So that's the guidelines. When you look for a company who wants to hire you, you talk about pay. You study the history and the future of the company concerning promotion prospects. Whether they will have overseas offices, because you want to travel. So all these carnal desires are now in you, instead of the motive of being constrained by the love of Christ, the only God-honoring motive that will help us walk in the Spirit, whereby the people, when they look at your walk, it will be spiritual. Right, that's what it means, right? Walk in the Spirit means they're going to see the spiritual part of you that is invisible within, but by your holy testimony, they're going to see it. Walk means your life. How you take step by step in whatever calling that you are in right now. Called to be a student, called to be an employee, called to be a housewife, a homemaker. How is it done? The Spirit will help you through the Word of God. You have to study the Bible. It's not something theoretical. It's not something that you pluck out of thin air. It's more than just simply having a warm feeling, a desire, and then that's it. Nothing practical, nothing concrete. It is always practical, and it is always something concrete that people can see. It's going to transform and change your holy witness and testimony and your relationship with people and your circumstances in life. So if you're constrained by the love of Christ when you go to school, you're not going to focus upon the promotion or scholarships or all the grades. You are focused on how to be a holy testimony in school to your classmates. And so you pray. I've got to be hardworking. I've got to pay attention. I cannot be naughty. I will take every opportunity to share the gospel with my new friends, my new classmates that I'm going to see. So this will now be in your mind and in your heart. Now when you have all these in your heart and in your mind, automatically, your attitude and your behavior, your conversation with all your classmates will change. If your desire, I want to be number one in class, what do you think will be the outcome? You are not going to be smarter than that other classmate. He has all the money and all the tutors, let's say, and he's smarter than you. No matter how you study, no matter how you try, you will always be at best number two. Because the gap between his grace and your grace, the marks and his, too far apart. And so maybe one day, I'm going to sabo him. You sabotage, right? Work pressure, school pressure, sabotage, because your desires are carnal. And therefore, by your action, you now complete the cycle. From a desire of the flesh, you're going to act it out. That's the meaning of fulfill. First, it begins with desire, lust of the flesh. Right? You're going to fulfill the desire means you're going to act it out. You're going to complete the circle. It begins with desire, and then you complete it by your actual action. You sabo him. When I was in university, during vacation, the library is closed. They ask for students, volunteer. Of course, they're going to pay them to help tidy up and rearrange all the books. No computer in the 1980s. I did not work there. I went into national service, reservice. But my classmates did. And so I asked them, what's it like? The librarian told us all kinds of horror stories of students. They will borrow library books, especially those that are red spotted, that you're not allowed to take home. You're allowed to borrow only for a couple of hours and then you're going to return to the counter. And then those books that they could borrow but not take out of the library. Wow, there are some students who will borrow the book and then after that they don't return to the proper place. They hide it somewhere on top of the bookshelf that nobody can find, so that after they have borrowed it, they learn everything that they require from that chapter of that book. All their classmates that come after them will never be able to find that book and study. Others would tear out those key pages that they're supposed to learn and study and flush them down the toilet. Fellow students, classmates, they do whatever it takes to have an advantage because their desire is number one. Because if I'm number one, there will be a lot of companies out there who are looking for the top 10 students. Therefore, my future will be bright if I am within the top 10. And if I can push you out of the top 10 so that I can be number 10, you think I'm not going to do it? Because my desire is to have a good job when I graduate, not you. That's the desire. And so now I fulfill the desire by the action of hiding the books and tearing the pages and flush it down the toilet. Fulfill it. Likewise, when you go to the office. Likewise, for mothers who compare with other mothers, thinking that my children are better than your children, my way of bringing children better than yours, they compete. Walk in the Spirit means let the people around you see your walk that is spiritual. And the only walk that is spiritual is according to Scriptures. Study all the passages of the Bible concerning how to be a godly employee. There are plenty of them in the book of Proverbs and in the New Testament and some parts of the Law of Moses teaching us how to be godly. If you don't study them, your desire to walk in the Spirit, it's going to fail before it starts. And so the first way to overcome is with the Spirit's help. Are you going to do it? Are you going to study the Bible? Are you going to put it as a priority? Now we're already in the month of March. What Bible study program did you have planned for yourself when the new year came? How much of it had been realized? How much? Did you promise the Lord that you're going to attend adult Sunday school after the worship service, or are you going to simply go home like before? Don't blame the teacher. All teachers, if the teacher is not doing a good job, it's up to you as a student. Remember, we talked about that before. Help the teacher do a good job. Make sure that when the teacher teaches, whatever the passage is, you read it in advance. You study it first. And then when the teacher teaches, he says something that needs clarification, raise your hand. Guarantee, if you do it a few times, this teacher will be better prepared. The teacher will not dare to be ill prepared because the class has good students like yourself. But when you disappear, You have no one to blame. You're going to stand before God. Lord, I desire to walk in the Spirit, but you know, I do not know how. Did you not know there was a class? But the teacher is bad. I do not want to attend. You think God will accept that excuse? Do you not have the Word of God in your hands? Do you also not have the Holy Spirit to help you understand the Word of God? Do you not know that there are many other students there who need you to be present to ask the right questions, to also help them know how to ask the right questions? There's so much you can do, but by your absence, you can't do a single thing. And you think that by absenting, you're going to be what? Better off? To the devil, yes, you are. You have just fulfilled the lust of the flesh by what you have just done. Your action is going to tell whether you fulfill it. Fulfill means you complete it. It begins with a desire, and then you complete it by your action. That's what it means in verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, likewise. It begins with a desire. But the desire now is guided by God's Word. Because you know God's Word now. And so with God's Word, you also must fulfill it. Because if you know God's Word and you do not do it, then the desire of the flesh will take over. And you're going to fulfill that part. Remember, there's nothing wrong with the desire. Desire was part and parcel of God's creating us in His image. The question is, now that you are born again in Christ, you can have the right desires, when before salvation, you could not have the right desire even if you wanted to. The lust of the flesh, the only thing that we knew before salvation was the desires of the flesh, nothing more. That's why it's called total depravity. Completely soaked in sin, the sinful nature. The nature was sin. There is no struggle at all. The struggle only takes place when the Holy Spirit dwells in you. When now you know what is the right thing, and you know you can do the right thing, but you struggle to do the right thing all the time. And therefore, sometimes you fall and you stumble. That's why to walk in the Spirit is not going to be perfection, but you must never stop walking in the Spirit. That's the construction here. And it's a command, not an option. And you have to keep on walking as long as you are breathing, no matter how long the Lord decides for you, you have to walk. Because your life, your time on earth is the Lord's doing, not your own. And don't you ever dare blame Him. I'm tired, Lord, I don't want anymore. Yeah, murmur and complainer. Again, you have just fulfilled the lust of the flesh, you know that, right? See, the moment you blurt it out, that's it. Right, first it becomes a desire. I want the desire to blurt it out. As long as you don't blurt it out, it's only a desire. True? The moment you open that big mouth of yours and you blurt it out to whoever, to your wife, to your children, and to one of the member, the moment you blurt it out, you just fulfill the desires of the flesh. Right now, it's just a desire within and you're struggling against it because the Bible tells us, I cannot murmur. To murmur is to murmur against God. Including your boss. You cannot murmur against your boss. Because there is no authority over all of God's children except that which God has appointed. And therefore, to murmur against our bosses is the same as murmuring against God. Because God was the one who appointed this person over His children. Now, you know the truth now. The Bible said so. You cannot murmur against any authority that God has set over you. To murmur against them, to fight against them, to protest against them is as good as protesting against God Himself. Now you know the truth now. And then you're about to open your mouth and murmur. So now you have the Holy Spirit telling you, don't. The flesh telling you, I must. So how are you going to do now? You see this colleague of yours, you go for lunch together. He starts to murmur, he's not a believer. Oh yeah, you know the boss, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, what are you going to say? What are you going to do now? He's doing it, but he's not a believer. He knows you are a believer. Are you going to open your mouth? The moment you open your mouth, you complete the circle. You complete it now. You fulfill it now. What's going to come out? To overcome, we need the Spirit's help. To overcome will be a lifelong tension. Verse 17, you see that. For the flesh lusteth after against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. You see that now? So the desire is not wrong. So you have now the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You now know the Word of God. And so now you have a strong desire, as propelled and compelled by the Spirit of God dwelling in you now, to obey the Word of God for as long as possible, and if possible, perfection. But you know perfection is not going to be possible as long as we serve and witness for the Lord in this flesh. Right, you see the tension? Overcome with the Spirit's help. Overcoming will be a lifetime tension. For the flesh lusts, the same word, against the Spirit continually, and the Spirit against the flesh continually, and they are contrary the one to the other. They're opposite. One will bring glory to the Lord, the other one will bring transgression, where your holy testimony will be damaged. So up to you. So that ye cannot do the things that ye will, you would, you desire. You just cannot, you just simply do not have the ability, because the word cannot is a very, very strong prohibition. Okay, you just simply will not have the ability to keep on doing it, because that's the desire, right? So this tension remains, similar to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 7, this tension. But you must, by the mercies and grace of God, be more obedient to the desire of the Spirit than the flesh. Hopefully it is 90%. For mature believers, for new believers, maybe 51%. Because you're struggling, you do not know much of God's Word yet. But as you grow, as you know more and more of God's Word, as you lean upon the Lord more and more, you will walk in the Spirit more than fulfilling the lust of the flesh. When will the obedience or fulfillment to the lust of the flesh ever end? It will end when you stop breathing. When God separates the real you, the Spirit, from this body. As long as you and I are witnessing for the Lord in this earth, on this earth, in this mortal body, this tension will remain. How to deal with this, you may ask. Now, we know that we cannot lose our salvation if we are born again. We know that we can lose our holy testimony if we are careless. And we know the holy testimony means that it must be visible to the people around us, right? So if I have a desire that is of the flesh, if I do not fulfill it, means if I do not act it out, if I do not say it, if I do not do it, my holy testimony remains intact, even though I have already sinned, right? Because it's a sinful desire. So the devil has not have an advantage over me yet, because my holy testimony is still intact. Because I didn't act it out yet. And you can't see my desire, only God can. That means I only sin against God when the desire comes of the flesh. But the moment I complete the cycle, I fulfill it, the devil has won. I damage the testimony that I spent so many years building in front of my wife. And it all came crumbling down because I succumbed to the lust of the flesh and I committed adultery. And so the Jesus of the Bible, who is so wonderful a Savior, taught us in the Sermon on the Mount. He used the same word that is over here. If a man look at a woman and lusts after her, same word, he must now know that he has really committed adultery. He must now know that the moment the desire comes, which is a sinful desire for that woman, He must know that as far as him and God is concerned, not anybody else, because nobody knows. You can't stumble a person by having a desire that is sinful, because people can't see desires, right? They can only see and be stumbled when you actually fulfill the lust of the flesh and act it out. So how do I overcome and win the tension battle that I have to face all my life? The moment the desire comes, you must recognize it as a very serious transgression, even though nobody on earth knows. That's why people continue to sin at the level of desire, the level of invisibility. Why do people want to bring all kinds of drugs into Singapore, knowing that if they are caught, they face the death penalty? The key word is if they are caught, isn't it? So they take a risk. If I'm not caught, you know how much money I make if I'm not caught. So they took the risk. Same, isn't it? If my transgressions are only in the realm of the invisible, the realm of only the desire, I'm okay. Many people think. Why do you think God gave us the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet? It's a desire. Because we all know that nobody goes to jail because I desire to rob your house. I didn't rob it. I only desire to rob it. But I didn't rob it. Do I go to jail because I desire? No. And anyway, the owner of the house doesn't know about my desire. So I'm okay. So I can continue to have the desire repeatedly, over and over and over again. As long as I don't rob your house, I'm okay. That's our problem, isn't it? And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, when you are born again with the Spirit of God dwelling in you, your sensitivity to sin is elevated to my level. And God says, my level is the moment I see you lust of the woman in your heart. You have already committed adultery, and I'm now telling you that you have. So please accept it and repent right there and then. That's how you win the battle against the lust of the flesh. You repent straight away so that your testimony that is visible to the people around you is not affected. That's how you win the battle. It's already a sin. Yes, it's a result. You have to repent right there and then. Therefore, you've got to stop it there. Nip it in the bud before it grows and bloom into a full-grown flower, a weed. Poisonous flower. Nip it in the bud even before the shoots come out of the ground. That's how you win the battle. That's what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, I am carnal. I fight against this. Because he, please don't think when he's carnal means, wow, Paul commits so many carnal sins. For the Apostle Paul, the way that he has been given the Word of God, the way that the Lord has to put a thorn in his side to keep him humble, you must understand that for the Apostle Paul, a desire is as good as having committed a sin. And for him to say, I am carnal, present tense, please don't conclude that he is carnal like you and me. Wow, must actually commit a sin and fulfill the lust. The moment it begins, the Apostle Paul will not let it fulfill the flesh, the lust of the flesh. Because to fulfill it, it's already done. It's already visible. And the holy testimony is damaged and the devil has won. The devil's seduction and temptation is only to damage your holy witness visibly. And if your holy witness is not damaged, the devil has not won. Even though he may have succeeded in seducing you and your desire of the flesh has really been inflamed. But if you stop there, you repent straight away, because now you must elevate your sensitivity to sin to that of the believer, which Jesus Christ has revealed to us in the Sermon on the Mount. And don't have a very low carnal view. Only when I am actually committing adultery, then only I have broken God's commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. That is the understanding of the world, that's the understanding of the Pharisees and the scribes in Jesus' time. But once you are born again, Jesus says, my children, my disciples, God's children, please understand, a wrongful desire must now be viewed by you as having committed
a full transgression, even though you have not actually done it. But you must know that it is already a very serious transgression, and you've got to repent right there and then. And if you repent right there and then, you walk away from the lust of the flesh, your holy testimony for Christ is left intact. True? And this battle, how long will it last? For the rest of your life. That's why you've got to walk in the Spirit and help and ask for the Spirit's help. That's why you pray without ceasing. You can't do it alone. You cannot. And remember, those of us who are in the evening years, the senior citizen, bear in mind that your body is now weak. Your mind is more or less in the mood. Alright? You already turn it to the program called retirement. You never retire from holy witness. You retire from your job. You retire from so many things. But don't ever retire from your holy witness, because when you are now so close to the finishing line, the devil will try his best to stumble you. Because now when you stumble so close to the finishing line, all the years of holy testimony that you have been accumulating, you have been building up for the blessing of so many people, will come crashing down the moment you stumble. So please do not think that because I'm in the evening years, I can now sit back in my holy testimony, put my leg up, and now rest and do nothing. All the more you should be on guard. All the more you should pray without ceasing. All the more you should study the Bible more. All the more you should come together and mutually provoke one another unto love and to good works. As long as the Lord gives you strength and breath. And for the young people, you bear in mind the lusts of the flesh, because flee youthful lusts. You're young, you're strong, and you're healthy, and the lusts, all the desires are very, very strong and potent. And when you start work, you now suddenly feel 4-figure amount of money every month in your lining your pocket. And now you think, I can do whatever I want, because you don't have to care for the water bill, the electric bill, because your parents are still paying it. And so now you have so much money, you can buy whatever your heart desires, you can buy all the branded goods and all the electronic gadgets that your heart desires. You better guard the lust of the flesh. Because if you do not begin right when you are young, you're going to be in serious trouble when you are old. For many of us who desire to begin right at the early start, can still stumble later on in years. How much more when you begin wrongly? Have the right heart and the right attitude. Overcome with the Spirit's help. Overcoming is a lifelong tension. And finally, overcoming is an evidence of salvation. Do you know that? If you say, I don't want to overcome, I cannot overcome, well, then you are probably not born again in Christ. Because verse 18 says so. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The word under the law means you are not still under the condemnation of the law. That's what it means. Not that you're not under the guidance of the law as a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. The whole context here is the false teachers are bringing the law in as a means of salvation. And if you listen to them and you think that your salvation is by obeying the law, then the Spirit of God cannot lead you, because you're not born again, the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in you. And the word lead there is not the Spirit walking in front. The word lead there is a very special word. It means He's holding your hand. That's the word lead. And sometimes you don't feel like going, He is still holding your hand, and He might lead you with a little bit more force, drag you. Just like the two angels going to hold on to the hand of Lot and his wife, and the other angel to his two virgin daughters, hold on to their hand and drag them out of Sodom. That's the idea of leading, holding on to the hand, not walking in front, hoping that you may follow. Not the kind of leading. It is a side by side, holding on to your hand, let's walk together. You follow where I'm bringing you. I say, go straight, you go straight. I say, don't turn to the left, you don't turn to the left. Even if your children, your wife, everybody else tell you to turn to the left, you stay your course. But that means I stand alone. You stand alone then. You mean I have to be the only holy one in the classroom, in the workforce, in the workplace? Yes. You'll be the only holy one who will stand against everybody else. because this is unethical, this is immoral, you cannot do it. But everyone is doing it. You're not everyone, are you? You want to be led by the lust of the flesh or the Holy Spirit? They're always against one another. And they are contrary. You choose A, you're not going to be B. You choose B, you're not going to be A. You choose the flesh, you're not walking by the Spirit. You choose the Spirit, you stay far away from the flesh. Your choice. Evidence of salvation. A person who will continuously be led by the Spirit. So that means a desire to live a holy life. A constant direction in holiness in the way that you walk. It's an evidence of salvation. That's what it means. The ability and the desire to overcome the lust of the flesh is a clear indicator of your salvation in Christ. That's what it means. And therefore, don't you dare say, I just simply do not have the strength to overcome. You are basically saying that you are not a Christian. Do you know that? Because the Spirit of God doesn't go on holiday, does it? Did you ever go on holiday? Did you go to sleep somewhere? Never. He will continue to lead you. He will continue to illumine your heart and mind to understand Scripture. He will continue to guide you. That is His ministry. And to say that you cannot is not the same as to say that I will not, isn't it? Will not means I can, but I don't want to. You cannot means I want to, but I can't, Lord. You can't means you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You are still a natural man who only understands the things of nature. The preacher called Charles Spurgeon, when he was a young teenager, shared in his biography how he wanted to be a Christian before he became a Christian, because he attended church very young. His father, grandfather, I think, were pastors. And so he was so angry and frustrated, trying to obey what the preacher preached Sunday after Sunday, to live the life of a Christian, but as a non-Christian, he could not. Until one wintry morning, he was converted. And then everything changed. He now could. A very, very big transformation. Because with the Spirit of God dwelling in every born-again believer, how can he not overcome the lust of the flesh? Because the Spirit of God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, just like God the Father, God the Son. He's not a weakling. He will help us if we let Him. And everyone who is truly born again would desire to let Him. Because the desire to want to walk in the Spirit is an evidence of our salvation. And the tension to struggle and to fight against the lust of the flesh is also a clear evidence. When our children accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, at a very young age, they say that they want to believe in Christ, so we pray the prayer of salvation with them, and a few days after that, they come running and they cried. And we ask them, why are you crying? I thought when I pray and accepted Jesus Christ, I will not be naughty again. But they were naughty again. And they felt so bad because they believed, they thought that if I accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, I will not be naughty. I will be a good boy, a good girl. But that did not happen. And so we've got to explain to them the fact that you have a desire to be a good girl, a good boy. The fact that you desire to be perfect is in itself a good thing. But as long as we are in this body, in this flesh, we will not stop sinning. But because we have a desire to be holy, we will repent of a sin. And whenever we stumble and fall into a sin, we hate it. Now please understand that when we talk about fall into sin, we are talking about at the early stage, the lust, where your holy testimony remains intact. It is not damaged yet because you did not fulfill the lust of the flesh by actually committing it full circle. Every transgression begins with a desire, and the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us, the ones who walk in the Spirit, because the Lord has taught us, right? Sermon on the Mount, you study the Sermon on the Mount. He will repent right there and then before God. And he will stop sinning, whereby he will still have a holy testimony around him.
That's what it means to overcome the lust of the flesh, evidence of one who is truly born again, because the Spirit of God will give him the strength and the conviction and the courage and the desire to keep doing it all the days of his life, knowing that this overcoming is going to be a lifetime tension that he will have to lean upon the Lord to fight against all the days of his life until the Lord returns. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to realize and understand that you have given to us all that we need to be holy as thou art holy, with the mind of Christ enabling us to understand the word of God, with a heart to obey, and with the indwelling of the Spirit of God turning us from the natural man to the spiritual, and to protect us from all forms of bitterness and anger. You have given to us a new motive, the love of God that was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost when he indwells us. Help us therefore, O Lord, to walk in the Spirit according to Holy Scriptures, so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And help us, O Lord, to repent of our sin the moment it begins as a desire for the tension. The desire of the Spirit and the flesh will be a constant battle. Help us, O Lord, by thy strength and the filling of the Holy Spirit to win these battles. And the moment we sin, O Lord, by having a sinful lust, help us to repent straight away so that we will not damage the witness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have given us the honor and the privilege to bear in this body of ours, in this life. Help us to have this strong, overwhelming desire to overcome the lust of the flesh as a clear evidence of our salvation in Christ Jesus. For this is our heart's cry and our heart's desire, O Lord, to be holy as thou art holy. May thou hear us, fill us, guide us, strengthen us for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.